Last year, two families got to go to Impact in Clovis, New Mexico. Our family and the Watkins family got to go. And we shared a little bit about it, but I wanted to give a little bit more in-depth report this year because I want the church to understand what Impact is. I want you to kind of see what it's all about because, Lord willing, some of us may try to go again next year. Romans chapter 1, if you would find verses 15 and 16, Romans 1, 15 and 16. I had the privilege of preaching the Monday night message, mostly because we had the shortest trip there. We were the closest ones to Sykeston of all the pastors that were coming there. There were people who traveled from south of Houston, Clovis, New Mexico, Mississippi, Louisiana, Topeka, Kansas. So there were churches from central Arkansas, around Arkansas. So a lot of states represented came together for this work. And so I got to preach these verses, and I just want to share with you real quick that, and then we'll get into the slideshow. Are you guys comfortable? Cool, let's stand up then. Knew that was coming, didn't you? Somebody gave me a hard time one time, said this is like being a Catholic church. I've never been, but I understand they stand up and sit down a lot. I find that it's easier for you to stay awake if you're standing up. And I'm going to tell you what, Brother Dean, you're not wrong. Stand up the whole time through worship at camp, and the floor sloped, so it's a challenge, like a calf workout. And then at Impact, man, stand up the whole time for worship. But I'm going to say our Savior's worth it. And I'll just remind you again, in the Old Testament times, the people stood up when the word of God was preached, and the man preaching sat down. I think we ought to bring that back. We wouldn't have to spend so much money on pews. We could just have one seat. No? Okay. All right. We should pray. And then we'll read these verses. Brother Ryan Barnes, will you lead us in a word of prayer, please? Amen. Paul says in Romans 1:15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. Please be seated. Real quickly, let me just share with you that my challenge to Impact and my challenge to our church today is that we need to be ready. Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel, and it's because of what was in him. He had met Jesus on the road to Damascus. The Spirit of God was in him. He had been changed from the inside out. He was a new creation in Christ. And with everything that was in him, who he was as a person, his passions, his desire, his drive, all of that, God just supercharged with the Holy Spirit of God, and it was shifted away from Pharisaism, it was shifted away from the Jewish traditions, and now it's focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was ready to preach the gospel. And you and I have been called to be ready to preach the gospel. I'm going to make this clear. Preaching the gospel, proclaiming the good news, telling others that Jesus loves them, that he died for their sins and rose again, that is not the work of pastors and missionaries alone, but it's the work of every believer. You guys don't agree with that? If you agree with something, it's traditional to say amen. Or you get old school and be like, that's right, or preach, or something like that. But do you agree with the fact that everyone who's born again is called to proclaim the good news? Okay, so I don't know why, but we get this mindset. I don't know if it's our American Christianity, our traditions, what we're raised up with, but somehow growing up, we get the idea, well, that's the pastor's job, that's the preacher's job. But the reality is, if you're born again, you're called to proclaim the good news. And so we should all be ready. And that's what Peter says, be ready always to give an answer for the hope that is in you, because God has given us hope. We just sang about it, right? We have hope. We have anticipation, bright hope for tomorrow. What is that? Well, my bright hope for tomorrow is that Jesus is coming again. My bright hope for tomorrow is that when I close my eyes in death, one day I'm going to open them in the presence of the Lord Jesus in his glory forever and ever. Is that your hope today? Amen. All right. Well, you should be a little happy about that. Just telling you, be excited, because if your faith is in Jesus, your home is in heaven. Amen. And we ought to be ready to tell others. So we're ready. And then verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed." I shared with them, and I've told you before, man, Romans 1:16 is a hard verse for me because it's convicting. Because there have been many times in my Christian life that I believe I was ashamed. Opportunities I had to share Christ with somebody, and I didn't. And at some level, there's a lot of different reasons, excuses, but at some degree, if I'm not willing to speak up for Jesus, there is a shame there. And I don't want to be ashamed of my Savior. And Paul could say with boldness, "I'm not ashamed." And you and I can come to a place. How does that happen? Well, we have to die to ourselves, and we have to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's not me just mustering up something in me, gritting my teeth real hard and making myself unashamed. It's just dying to self and being filled with the Spirit. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're not going to be ashamed of Jesus, because he's here. The Spirit is in you to testify of Jesus. So unashamed. We need to be men and women and boys and girls who are unashamed of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus went to the cross for you. He bore your shame. Listen, I don't want to get too graphic this morning. Just understand that they stripped Jesus of all of his clothes. They beat him to the point that he didn't look like a man anymore. And then they hung him on a cross for the world to see. He took your shame. So there's no reason for you to be ashamed of him today. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. And there was a time, some of you are a little bit older than me, and there was a time you can remember in this community, it wasn't a big deal ever. Like, everybody was okay with you being a Christian, and everybody was fine with you saying the name of Jesus. But our culture is changing. And it's not as accepted today or as appreciated today for you to be a Christian. And all the more reason for us to have a boldness for Jesus. All the more reason for us to stand up for him. Listen, the world's not ashamed of their sin. They have parades. They celebrate. What God calls wickedness and evil, the world celebrates, and we're over here cowering down, afraid to speak the name of Jesus. Well, we better wake up, because those people who are celebrating their sin, you know what they need? They need somebody who's ready and unashamed to tell them the good news of Jesus, that they, like we, can be delivered from their sin, that they can be saved. Listen, we're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. Amen. I told you I was going to preach later. Let me go ahead and do it now. Don't think for a second that your sin is better than somebody else's. We're really good at calling out other people's sin. We're really good at looking at other people's sin like it's worse than ours. I'm going to tell you that every person on this planet is in need of a Savior. And I am the chiefest of sinners. We're really good at calling out other people's sin and looking at their lifestyle and having that attitude, "I can't believe they." Well, friends, the Word of God is a mirror. So look into the perfect law of liberty and let it change you. Our heart's desire for everybody else is that they would be saved. Am I being clear enough? Everybody tracking? Be unashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. You know, the gospel requires belief. We read in our Sunday school class in John 1, it says that he came into his own, and his own received him not. But he says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name." Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God requires faith. That's the only requirement. And by the way, faith isn't a work. It's a gift of God. And God gives us the ability to believe. Even the ability to believe God gives us. And so we come to him in faith. And when we believe, he gives us eternal life. He saves us. He forgives our sins. He takes us out of the penalty of his wrath forever and ever. And so belief is required for someone to hear and believe the gospel to be saved. They have to believe, all right? We're justified by faith. Amen. But I want you to hear this. We need to be ready. We need to be unashamed. And we also need to believe. Amen. Not just believe to be saved, but we need to believe in the power of the gospel. I think there's something's happened in the American church, and we think we need programs, and we think we need flashing lights and smoke and mirrors and a show. And I'm going to tell you that the gospel is sufficient. I'm kind of feel a little, I don't want to be hypocritical. I'm going to show you a slideshow in a second. I'm going to use some technology. God bless you and your family. I'm going to use some technology, and I think we can use all the tools that we have available for the gospel's sake. But listen to me, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Do you believe that? I mean, do you believe that you can just tell someone the old story and they can hear it and believe it? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen, it's not me and it's not you. It's the gospel. We're just messengers, that we take the message that God has given to us and we give it to other people. We get to be the mouthpiece of God to give good news. And I'm just here to tell you, let me confess to you that I really needed church camp a couple weeks ago, and I really needed this trip to Sykeston, Missouri. We were supposed to go to Lake Travis, Texas. Things kind of fell apart there, and we ended up in Sykeston, Missouri. I didn't even know the place existed until they said we were going there. I'm going to be honest with you, too. I didn't even look at, like, a big map. I just pulled it up on the GPS, and we drove there. I didn't even know where it was at in the state. I was there all week before I, like, zoomed out on the map to figure out where I was. But God had a plan, and God had a purpose. And there were many people who got to hear the gospel in Sykeston because we were there. And it was a tremendous reminder that we just need to be ready and unashamed and tell people, and God does the rest. God does the rest. All right. Brother Dave, will you start up that slideshow? I want to share with you a little bit about Impact 2025. So our kids, since it was just our family and we love our kids, we let them hang out with Landmark the whole time, Landmark and Vianne. So our older kids, Maggie was stuck with us, but they got to go with them. That's one of the Blitz teams. That's Blitz 1. That's why they're all holding up 1, because they're Blitz 1. And that team right there covered an enormous amount of ground. And I'll tell you more about the Blitz teams in a second. The next slide, you're going to see just part of the worship service. And there it is. There's the truth. They're all standing up, except for the people who are praying. And I just tell you, the Spirit of God moved the whole time. Even during the song services, people would go and pray. There were a lot of saved people who were trying to get their hearts right with Jesus. There were a lot of people praying for lost people. Maybe they had met along the way, and God was really working. On the next slide, you'll see us on a blessed team. A blessed team is a group that basically, we have multiple blessed teams. A blessed team does random acts of kindness or acts of service in the community. So the first day, we got to help the Southeastern Missouri Food Bank. They were distributing food truck rolled up with a bunch of pallets of food. We got to unload that, unbox that, and people were lined up around. I think there were like 180 people we served that day who came to get food. They lined up. We could not serve them until 10:30, but they were there before, I think by 9 o'clock, they were just lining up dozens of cars. And so we had to sort all the food and give it out. But of course, we were there for another reason. We had gospel tracts. So myself and the young lady you see in the background there, Breely, we got to go out and go car to car and hand out the gospel to everybody while they were waiting in line. They couldn't go anywhere. And they're there to get food, so they're real happy to just, you know, listen to whatever you have to say. So we got to go through, and anybody we could have a conversation with, we did that. I got to talk to several people. I want to ask you to pray for a man named Stephen, who was not saved, and he wanted to be saved. And we just went to car, got to pray with people, talk to people, share the gospel with people. And like I said, I think we served 180 people there. That same day on the next slide, you'll see we got to go to Kenny Rogers Children's Center. How many of you know who Kenny Rogers is? Yeah. Okay. Do that one more time. Where's my Kenny Rogers people who know who that is? All right. You just aged yourself, in case you're wondering. But anyway, he has sponsored this facility for a long time. They have a lot of therapy there for children's otherly abled individuals. So special needs. They do occupational therapy, speech therapy, and I don't know other kinds of therapy. But they had a little project outside with a planter we got to work on. And so we had our Bless team there. We got to serve and try to be a blessing to them. So Bless teams, we did all kinds of stuff. We helped out with some of the car washes. And we did some other projects just to try to show some love to the community. On the next slide, you'll see some of the car wash teams. And so here's how car wash works. You got kids out on the road holding signs, letting people know we got a free car wash. You got teams of people who are washing cars and drying cars and trying to do a really good job, but not do it too fast, because the purpose is to try to give the gospel to the person in the car. So when they roll up, you let them know we're going to wash your car for free, and you can stay in the car if you want to, or you can get out and wait over here. And we had tents and stuff set up. The goal was hopefully they would get out and you could talk to them the whole time. A lot of people stay in the car. But when it's done, our team leader said, make sure you dry the driver's side door first and then slowly dry the rest of the car. Because once the driver's side's dried off, you're going to knock on the window and say, hey, thanks for coming out today. You're going to give them a gospel tract and get to have conversations. And there were several people who got prayed with. You can see one of the pastors there talking to a lady, sharing the gospel with her. A couple of young ladies at the window sharing the gospel with somebody there. On the next slide, some more pictures of some more of that. Just washing cars and sharing the gospel with people. And we did car wash one day as part of the Blessed team. And, man, it was awesome just to get to talk to people. Met a man named Walter. I liked him from the start because he was a Thunder fan. And we got to talk about the Thunder, which allowed me to kind of make a connection with him and then talk to him about the gospel. Walter was in his late 70s and was saved a long time ago, and he loved the Lord, and it was a blessing to get to talk to him. On that same day, I got to meet a young man named Samuel. Samuel showed up, jumped out of a Suburban. Samuel doesn't have either leg from the knee down. He's got prosthetics there. He doesn't have either arm from the elbow down, and he's just got a little bit right here. But Samuel was saved about 2 years ago. Let me tell you something. Sam loves Jesus, and it was a joy to get to talk to him, and he's just on fire for God. And I got to visit with him and pray with him. He came to our worship service that night and got to testify in front of all 250 people about his faith in Jesus and challenge our group. So I want you to get this in your head. Picture Sam up there, prosthetics legs. He's missing one arm at the elbow, the other one just past the elbow. And he tells everybody in the group not to focus on the things of this world, but to focus on Jesus. Sam said, this world is nothing. Jesus is everything. And Sam was such an inspiration and a blessing to us. I got to meet him because he showed up to get his car washed. And he told them he wanted them to do a really good job. On the next couple of slides, you just see some of our people impacting people, some of our teams. Some of you guys remember Brother Danny Kennedy down there. He preached a camp for us. Some of you around the area at the top right, you might recognize Brother Mike. Mike might have been your UPS man at one time. He's got a different area now, but Brother Mike loves the Lord. And he was teamed up with John this week. And Brother Mike's a little bit older than John, but let me tell you, he put John through the paces. Those guys were on a blitz team, and a blitz team just gets a stack of door hangers, and they try to get as many out as they possibly can, and they work from the time we leave the hotel in the morning until about 3 in the afternoon, and they kill it. They kill it. And so they just go door to door and try to canvass the town. On the next slide, you see some other people, and if you know Katie Bell, some of you guys know Katie Bell. That's Katie Bell right there. That's her. Personality and all. In the bottom, in the middle. And some of our other friends. So on the next slide, some of our blitz teams out there doing the work, getting after it. And then on the next slide, I want you to see this. More blitz teams, guys out there. And let me tell you this. Impact, one of the young men in one of these pictures came to me at the invitation time one night, wanted me to pray with them. It has such an impact on us as Christians to want to have our hearts and lives right with God. On the next slide, I want you to see share time. So every night at worship, we give everybody a chance to get up and tell about some of their encounters, people that they got to witness to, people who were saved, and different stuff. And this little guy, I can't remember his name. Can you see the little guy being held up there? This brother was doing the work. I'm pretty sure he was on a car wash team, and he was talking about how they were doing a car wash, and they got to witness to somebody, and how they got to pray with somebody. You see this little guy? He got up there to talk, and we couldn't see him. So Brother Everett had to pick him up so people could see him. But he was out there doing the work. So please don't tell me you're too young. Don't tell me you're too old. Don't tell me you're too whatever to do the work. If this little guy can do it, we all can do it. It's not us. It's the Lord. On the next slide, that's just some of the response one night. Just people praying, pouring out their heart to God. I believe I get kind of mixed up because a lot happened in those days, but I think the young lady right here praying was saved that night. And like I said, several of the people that were saved out of our groups, out of the church groups. So it was a blessing. On the next slide, you see just an overview. Over 300 cars washed, almost 10,000 homes canvassed, over 200 people prayed with, and 22 professions of faith. Amen. Glory to God. It was just an awesome week, and I just wanted you to see, we've got prayer teams, so they set up prayer tents, invite people to come and pray with them, and they're able to share the gospel with them that way. Car wash teams, blitz teams, bless teams, and then you have the lunch team. There's a group of ladies who make sure that everybody has lunch every day, so you don't have to take a lot of time out of the work, out of the ministry to eat lunch. But I just wanted to take the time to share some of that with you today and pray that God will bless, because salvation is not the finish line. Salvation is the starting line. And all of those people who made professions of faith, those who prayed to be saved last week and the week before, their next step is to be baptized. And we've encouraged them to do that, challenged them to do that. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you identify with him in baptism. And then after baptism, to get connected in the body of Christ, the local church, and to continue to grow, to continue to serve him, and then to go out and do the same work that brought you to Christ, right? So please pray that God will continue to work and move in people's hearts and lives. Amen. Amen. All right. Today's been a little bit different, I know. And some of you are getting really nervous because you're looking at the clock and saying, now he's going to preach another message. But it's okay. It's okay. It's not even 11 o'clock yet. You got plenty of time to get Dad to the restaurant before the Methodists do. I know that's what you're worried about. But I do want to take a second, and we're going to pray. I want to ask you to pray with me for a couple of things. One, pray that the other people who heard the gospel that aren't saved yet, that they will be. Because I have no doubt that there were young people at camp that were of the age of accountability, like they're old enough to hear and understand and believe, that they went home lost. And I promise you, we prayed with hundreds of people. I can't even tell you all the people that I got to pray with while we were gone, and so many other people prayed with people. There were a lot of people we shared the gospel with that were not saved. There was one man in particular, the kids came back talking about how he was really belligerent, he was really hateful to them and told them that they were brainwashed and they were crazy. I'm talking about students, teenagers, that a grown man was telling them, you're brainwashed, you shouldn't believe that. So they went on their way, and when they came back, he came out to the street to yell at them some more and tell them how brainwashed they were. I want to tell you, a young man who got up and shared that was so encouraging, because he shared that. And he just talked about how it's not us and it's God. And he had a heart for that man who was that way. And you just, there are people who need Jesus. And even though we rejoice in those who are saved, please pray with me for those who weren't. So pray for those that are still lost and pray in our community. I was so encouraged. We were going out there to Sykeston to try to help that community be a witness to them. And then I'm hearing about you guys back here. Some of you were able to go and help a family out with storm damage. You're cutting up trees and you're out there sweating and working just to be kind to a family, show the love of Christ to a family. And others of you are out door to door handing out the VBS hangers here and doing the same work here that was going on there. And it just thrills my soul. And so we have the same work that we try to do at camp, the same work that we try to do on mission trips is the same mission that we have here every single day. And sometimes we just need a reminder. So these times like this, church camp and mission trips and vacation Bible school, can serve as great reminders about the work that we have to do. Because there are still lost people in Sykeston, Missouri, but there are still a lot of lost people in Muldrow, Oklahoma. Amen. In Roland, Oklahoma. And in Gans, and in Salisaw, and all over Sequoia County, and all over our state, people who desperately need the Lord Jesus. So will you pray with me right now for those to come to faith in Jesus? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the work that's been done here, the witnessing that's been done, the canvassing that's been done, the gospel that's been shared. I thank you for the love that's been shown to others. And Father, I just pray that you'll help us to do this work week in and week out, month after month, year after year, that we would faithfully show the love of Christ to others, to do good in your name, so that others will see you, that they'll glorify our Father in heaven. Lord, that we can love others, that we can just display that love in the greatest way possible by giving them the gospel truth, to tell them of Jesus, who is mighty to save, to warn them of the judgment to come, and to call them to repentance and faith. Lord, thank you for the souls that have been saved. Those who have turned away from their sin and unbelief and trusted in Christ alone and called on your name with simple and childlike faith, they've believed. I pray that you'll help each one of them to continue, that they'll get baptized, that they'll identify with you publicly through baptism, that they'll get connected in a local church that'll help them to grow in their grace, in your grace and knowledge, to help them to grow in your word and in fellowship, to continue in the apostles' doctrine and in prayer and in fellowship. And Father, that they'll continue to grow, and that you'll use them to do the same work. Lord, please just help disciples to be made and multiplied for your glory. Thank you for your grace, and I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, while we're keeping things weird, today is what? Father's Day. So I'm going to ask all the dads to come to the front, if you would. If you're a dad, come to the front. Just line up. You guys know how to do a lineup. You've done it before.
Slick shot, man.
I know usually there's numbers behind you on the wall. Brother Mike got up here and he's like this. Oh, yeah, I don't have a number. All right, fellas, look around. Everybody else in the room, look around. Can somebody just say amen with me?
Amen.
When I was growing up in church, our church was really small and there weren't very many of us, and very few of them were men. There were times when it was maybe the pastor and the deacon and the rest was mostly women. And I thank God for faithful women who have faithfully served the Lord. Anybody else thankful for faithful women?
Amen.
But I want to tell you, God's design is that men are to be the head of the family and that they're to lead their families to follow the Lord Jesus. And I thank God for you men. I thank God that you're here today. And I thank God that you're striving. The fact that you're here today shows that you're trying to do what God wants you to do. And I thank God for you. I'm going to read you a couple of verses, then we're going to pray. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John had gone to the temple to pray, and when they were there, you remember the lame man was laying there, and he was healed, and he got up, and he was running and leaping and praising God, and all the people come together to see what in the world's going on. And in Acts 3, verse 11, it says, "As the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto the porch that's called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And Peter saw it, he answered the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why ye look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power and holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom ye see and ye know. The faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Here's what I want you to see. The reason you and I are here today, believing in Jesus, is because there was a man named Abram who, when God spoke to, he believed God. And he got up and went where God led him. That is really the beginning of our story. That's where it starts, because Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. All the rest of the promises started with that, and that's why you're here today, because Jesus is the promised seed and he is the fulfillment of all those things. And these men here are men who put their faith in Jesus. And here's what I want to challenge you, men. Be like Abraham. Believe God and do what he calls you to do. Believe God and do what he calls you to do. By the grace of God, we can lead our families in the right way. We're going to pray for these men, give thanks to them, and ask God to challenge us all. And I'm going to ask Brother Mike, if you would, to lead us.
Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity you've given us to be in your house. We give thanks for each one of these men, the fathers that they are, that they would be here, they would be here with their families. We just ask that you help us to be better leaders, better fathers, better servants for you, dear Lord. We want to be a disciple that brings honor and glory to you. And we want to lead our families in the way that we should. We just ask that you give us wisdom and knowledge and strengthen us so that we can do that. Dear Lord, we ask that you be with each person here present, that we would all have a desire to be better servants for you, that we'd all have a desire to do what you would have us to, what we're called to do, that we would be proclaimers of your word, dear Lord. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. And we ask that you continue to be with us throughout the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, man. Please be seated. Lest I forget, we've got a small gift for each of you men on your way out today. So those of you guys that like to duck out the side door and not go out this way, you need to go that way today. Not to name any names, but go out that way today and receive your gift. Acts chapter 3 is where we were reading. And I want you to pick up there at verse 18. I'm just going to say a couple more things and then we're going to be done. Acts 3:18, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Now I just want to introduce this to you because we're going to study it later today and probably next week. We're learning about the kingdom of God. God created a perfect kingdom in the beginning. Mankind rebelled against God's sin and fell from God and brought sin and death into the world and lost the dominion that God had given, destroying or postponing God's kingdom on earth. But God made covenants, promises of the kingdom to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, or Israel. Jacob is Israel, same person. Israel, God changed his name because he would become a great nation. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob got these promises. And then throughout the rest of the scriptures, we see pictures of the kingdom in King David and his promised eternal kingdom, and in the prophets and the hope that they shared. And here's what Peter's preaching after that man is healed. He's telling them about the prophets, the promises, and the pictures of the kingdom, and it's really all about that kingdom. Verse 19 again, repent ye and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. And here's what I'm going to tell you, is God made covenant promises, gave us beautiful pictures and prophecies, and Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of them all. He brought the kingdom when he came the first time, and he will bring the kingdom in its fulfillment, in its fullness, in all of his glory when he comes again. So here's what you and I must do. Repent and be converted. What does that mean? It means if you're sitting here today or watching online, if you're still with me, you must turn away from your sin and unbelief and trust with all your heart in Christ alone. And when you do that, he'll take away your sin, and you will have a part in his kingdom here and now and forever. It's now, and it's also not yet. But you can be a part of that kingdom if you repent and you're converted. And here's what you do if you've done that. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, the first thing you need to do is be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You need to be baptized, which identifies you with Christ publicly. It is being baptized, it's identified with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. And glory to God, we've seen some baptisms the last month, and we pray that there will be more. And if you have been saved and baptized, then you need to continue in his word. Jesus said to the Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. Indeed, then you're truly disciples. So whatever God's dealing with in your heart today, let me say it like this, the God of the patriarchs, I'm gonna share this with you while our musicians come. Make your way to the front, please. The God of the patriarchs glorified his son Jesus, the prophet that was foretold, warning the people to hear him, calling them to trust in the promised seed of Abraham, the perfect prince of life, who suffered and died for our sins, was raised from the dead, and will return from the presence of the Lord to bring the promised times of refreshing, when the kingdom will be fully restored and God's righteous reign will be fully revealed. That's what Peter preaches, and that's what we have to trust in today. Let's stand together. I realize today was different, a little bit of reports and stuff and a little bit of preaching, and maybe all of that's weird, but here's what I want to tell you. The word of God is still powerful. The gospel has the power to save, so I'm trusting in the gospel today. Jesus died for you, was buried, and rose again, and if you'll trust in him, he'll give you eternal life. Maybe somebody in the room has never been soundly saved. You don't know that you're trusting in Christ alone. You can be saved today. Maybe you've been saved, but you need to be baptized, whatever it is. If God's convicting your heart, I want to invite you to come. And let me say this. If you've been ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you, like I, need to repent. I have repented. I am repenting, and I will repent, that by the grace of God, I'll never be ashamed again. So if you, as a believer, have been ashamed of the gospel, you need to repent today. Get your heart right with the Lord so that we can go and be witnesses for him as we leave this place.
Page 564.